Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies streamed to your PC, Mac, or TV instantly. Plus, get DVDs by mail in about one business day. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. And by Trim Tonic, a natural appetite-suppressant tonic that takes the edge off of being hungry. Visit TrimTonic.com, that's TrimTonic.com, for more information, and enter coupon code TWIT for a 20% discount.
Monday, June 13th, 2011, and this is episode 12 of All About Android, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And joining us today, we want to welcome back Kevin Purdy, the author of The Complete Android Guide. Yay! Welcome back, Kevin.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks so much for filling in for Ron, who is...
totally ducking out on his All About Android responsibilities. Ron. No, it's cool. He's in New York. He's away, and we knew about it well in advance. So,
yes,
Kevin, thank you so much for joining us and being a part. We love to have you back on the show. You're just full of Android goodness.
You know,
I am psyched for this episode.
I'm really excited that you're on the show, too, because today is another feedback episode. We've got tons of questions, feedback, comments, whatever, voicemails. That's what this entire episode is about. And the arena. Yeah, all about you. And the arena is going to be a grab bag. So
that's right. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Who knows? I have a little fight to pick with Instagram today.
Okay, well, at least it's not with me because I'm in the same room as you. And that would be awkward. So I'm happy to not get into a fight with you today.
Fight to pick
Maybe
Jason
next episode,
today.
But okay. Well, cool. So I guess without further ado, well, first of all, we should say that any week is actually, hopefully, if we're playing our cards right, a feedback episode for the most part.
I know.
We always try and get the show, you know, on time throughout, but ultimately the feedback portion of our show is the last part of the show that we get to.
And we're blah blahing the entire episode, and then we're like, oh no, we ran out of time.
We have to get rid of something. What do we have? Dang it. It's always feedback. So that's why we do these episodes, because we want you to feel like you can actually write into us. And if we don't get back to you personally, we get a lot of emails. So we try to get back to you personally. But if we don't, hopefully we'll answer those questions on the show and it'll help the greater good of the Android community. You can always send us an email, aaa@twit.tv, or send us a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail, rather, 347-SHOW-AAA. Like all of the people that we're going to talk about today have done. So
I think we should dig in. We've got a lot of emails and voicemails to answer. Voicemail or email first? Email?
Let's start with first email.
All right. This is, this person is very particular. And all right, I'll start. Eileen, Jason, and Ron. I, like Jason, am holding out and waiting for the next best Android phone. Currently have an Nexus S. I think I have the definitive list of what the phone should have. Do you guys see any deficiencies on my list? Do you know of any phones that fit all of the criteria? Number one, processor. Has to be either 1200 megahertz Qualcomm Snapdragon dual core or 1000 megahertz dual core NVIDIA Tegra 2. Rear camera has to have at least 8 megapixels with LED flash and video recording at no less than 1080p. Boy.
He knows knows what he
Front
wants.
Camera has to have a minimum of 1.3 megapixels, 2 megapixels preferable. I think we can manage that. Mm. Resolution at least 540 by 960. LCD, but we'll consider 480 by 800 Super AMOLED.
Okay.
I like AMOLED screens, but latest Android version and as close to vanilla Android as possible. That's where we're going to get a little bit of an issue. And then, to throw it in, HDMI out. DLNA, stereo Bluetooth, NFC, and FM radio are great, but I can live without those. Thoughts?
Yeah.
From Flink?
F-L-I-N-C. Flink.
Link.
I don't know, something like that. I know. I did some poking around just to kind of, I mean, first of all,
Those are very specific.
All of those things, it's very, I mean, that's, you're right. That's the same kind of camp that I'm in.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, well, I know that they're the, you know, that, that a dual core processor is the next big thing. So why would I settle for anything less? And that coupled with the vanilla Android, you know, coupled with all these other things, it, it might be possible, but it's, you know, probably not going to be very easy for you to be able to match all of those things. And when I kind of did some researching over the weekend, you know, the one thing that I dumbly left out of consideration was the vanilla Android portion of this. So the hardware that I had picked out, I believe, has everything else. And well, let's see here. So Sprint, and also we didn't know what carrier you were on. So it was hard to tell there. But Sprint has the Motorola Photon 4G this summer, which I'm pretty positive is going to have their MotoBlur overlay, even though they're not calling it MotoBlur anymore.
So that's the least intrusive of all the... You know, custom blends, really, right?
Is it? Now, I just haven't had a good experience playing with MotoBlur. I don't like the look of it. It feels sluggish. But is it least intrusive on the look?
It's the most light of all the customs. It's the most like stock. I mean, it's not exactly like stock.
Okay.
But.
Well, that's good to know.
Okay.
All right, so there's that. There's Motorola Photon 4G, HTC Evo 3D, which is out June 24th. That does have HDMI, but it's through the micro USB port, so I don't know if that's good enough. You'd probably have to buy a separate cable in order to make that happen. And I doubt, I mean, that's going to be Sense all the way. HTC is always Sense unless it's a Nexus, I believe. T-Mobile, HTC Sensation 4G. Again, no HDMI, but it does have DLNA, which you put in here as something that is great but could not live without. Could be an alternative to your HDMI. Maybe that works for you. Verizon, of course, the Droid Bionic, which you've unfortunately heard me talk way too much about on the show.
And everybody else who's possibly looking at a phone.
Yeah, exactly. So that, you know, and we don't even know release date on that. We just know that it's to be determined sometime soon. Droid X2, which just, what did I put here? Just upgraded to GB? I don't even know what that means anymore.
Gingerbread.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. There you go. So that was just upgraded to Gingerbread. Droid X2, I believe, does all these things, but I don't think, you know, it's not a vanilla experience as well. AT&T, the Atrix 4G Gingerbread coming very soon, they say. And I feel like there's probably others in the AT&T world, but I couldn't find them. Do you guys know?
Yeah, no. I looked up the Infuse, and that's definitely not one of the phones.
G2X? People in the chat room are saying G2X as well.
Do so, all those shoot 1080? Like they all shoot 1080 video?
I don't think they all do.
I didn't even know there were any phones that shot 1080 at this point.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Okay, I obviously didn't research this as well.
Well,
as I should have.
But. I think they're coming though. I think the Samsung Galaxy 2 might, but you know. What my question is too, and I wonder if you guys know, you know, the Samsung Galaxy 2, but then per carrier, sometimes it changes, right? Sometimes the phone changes the specs for whatever reason. So my answer would be the Samsung Galaxy 2S. Flink also says that the Samsung Galaxy S2 specs state that the phone has HDMI connectivity via micro USB.
Right. So, yeah, that's the same. Same as the.
But there's a few things like I don't even think the screen size is exactly what he wants, but it is Super AMOLED 4.3-inch. It's going to be dual core. They don't tell you what exactly dual core. The you know information's not all out there yet. At least here in the United States. So. Right. There's many people all around the world who have already bought the phone and who love it. So, but then that has TouchWiz, so it's not necessarily vanilla.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think what you're seeing here is it's next to impossible to get everything on your wish list.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and I realize you put, you know, DLNA, stereo, Bluetooth, NFC, FM radio in the kind of category of great, but I could live without it. You might need to take one, maybe two items out of what you have to have and move that down. Of course, I'm the one telling you this. When I'm really kind of talking to myself as well,
I know,
probably need to do that too.
It's like a little
therapy session here, right?
Yeah.
I'm coming to terms with what I want out of a new Android phone.
So
it's
a hard
decision to make. I understand, believe me.
You might want to wait for the S2. Flink. I keep saying his name is Flink, but
yeah,
we don't really know.
That's okay.
You know, or take a look at the phones that Jason just ran through. But you have a lot of specific requirements. I like that, you know. But I don't know if there's one phone that's going to work for you. Right. But I know some people are saying the G2X. Yeah. That I'm hearing is going to be discontinued, and that phone has been having some issues.
Leo has that one, right?
Yeah, it's been having some reboot issues. So, I mean, it is a great phone. I've played with it for a little bit, but I would be a little wary about that. So, yeah. And the Sensation looks amazing, too. But All right.
Well, that's plenty. Kevin, you have the next email. Go for it.
And yes, this one's from Swiss long one. Compass.
You can, we can condense this one.
I could.
Summer.
It's from Swiss Compass. Who has a Nexus S on Gingerbread. Awesome. So Swiss Compass downloads shows and uses uses Beyond Pod to listen to them. She liked the old just standard music app. None of his or her podcasts, which appear in the song list, only actual songs. But now they're seeing some of their audio podcasts and their song list, their regular music list, which is frustrating because, of course, they don't always want to, scan through all the different podcasts to find the music they want. Is there any way to fix it? Is the question. They've tried Double Twist, which is great, but it does not include audio podcasts in the song list, but doesn't remember the track position where you left off listening to a song or a long file. So there's a three-prong test that Swiss Compass is looking for. Number one, exclude audio podcasts from the song list. Just music, not podcasts. Allow deletion of MP3 files from within the app. And we think that means be able to remove songs individually from the library and not necessarily delete it. And then number three, remember position in the track even after the phone's been restarted, which is pretty intense. The question is out there, guys. Is there any app or anything that does all three of those things?
Well, first of all, I'll go ahead and say that I've been using for a little while now, actually, Double Twist to listen to audiobooks, which, I mean, audiobooks, podcasts, kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
and it actually does have a pickup from where you last left off, if the last thing you heard is that audiobook. If you then choose to listen to anything else in the library and then go back to it, you're right. It doesn't remember that. But it does remember it if that's all you're listening to, which
it's funny, it does have a podcast section. I don't know if you can see this on my phone here. It has a podcast section, but I have a lot of podcasts myself that end up in the song area, just like Swiss Compass.
And I wonder if that's the podcast creators tagging like the genre as podcast, and those then automatically.
And you
get
know what podcast
out.
Creator that is? That would be us.
Okay, good to know.
I also like Swiss Compass. I don't know about like, but download a lot of games, and so I'm finding on my song list that I have a lot of the game music on here that I don't really want showing up.
Now there's a fix for that one issue at least, which is the .no media trick.
Aha! Please tell me about that.
So if you have files on your SD card or, in your internal memory that you don't want to show up in your photo gallery or your music library, you add a small file called titled .nomedia.nomedia, and you add it to the folder where that material is, like your game folder or photos from an app or something. And most apps, I know definitely the stock Android apps and most other apps will obey that, and they won't include that. They won't scan that folder and include it with your library. So that's one way to get around at least the stuff I don't want showing up in apps problem.
And
the .nomedia
file. And you're saying most apps are... most app creators are creating their apps with that in mind. It just has
seems
to be
like it,
a text file that has no contents. Mm-hmm. Is just .no media is the title.
.no media is a file, and it doesn't have to be any particular kind of file. Just
That's
throw it in
awesome.
There.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, because I actually went to the Double Twist forums, and there were a lot of people who were asking the very same question, and they don't separate on folders yet. So. Mm-hmm. There's no real fix, and they were actually offering refunds to people who bought the app and were mad about this. And somebody else in the forum said, "Well, I don't want a refund. I want you to fix it. I want you to just make it work. This is a big problem."
Well, one thing that I can see right off the top is that, I've done this as well, where my podcasts end up in my music folder, and suddenly they're intermixed, and it gets all confusing. If God, I was doing this in prep too. I keep wanting to call it Beyond Pod for some reason. My brain is broken and I don't understand why.
He's thinking of the Bionic.
Bionic Pod. Okay, so I'm going to reverse here because I'm going to trip myself. I'm sure in Beyond Pod, when it comes down to syncing RSS feeds, there's got to be a place in the preferences where you can assign a specific folder on your SD card to save them to. So save your podcasts, have them downloaded to a folder that's outside of your music folder. Then the app that you actually use to play your podcast with, Beyond Pod, is always looking at that because that's how you've set it. And Double Twist is always looking at music because that's how that just works. And they aren't getting combined. Aside from that, I'll just go ahead and throw out a little teaser for the app that I'm going to talk about in today's grab bag in the Android arena. So make sure and keep, stay tuned for a little bit later in the show. Because although it's not exactly this, it will do this for you and can be used for podcasts as well. So stay tuned.
Nice.
How cool you played that.
Yes. Well, nice. You know, I want everybody to vote for my app. So.
Nice. Of course you do.
I got it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next question.
Okay, so this is from Nick. He says, just wondering if you guys had an idea as to what is generally better, i.e. more profitable for a developer, the paid for versions of the apps or the ad-supported versions. Apps are so cheap when you buy them. I wonder how the devs make much per sale. And if there is a good app, I want to support the devs as much as possible. So Eileen, you noted over the weekend in our doc here that that paid would generally be preferred because it's money up front. Yeah. Angry Birds might be the exception.
I was thinking that. They're making bank right now. And they released their Android app.
But the brand was already
app.
So huge by the time it reached
exactly.
everybody.
Yeah, by the time it reached Android, it was, there was ads on the game. I don't know. I think that's the exception. Am I right?
Well, I put a call out on Twitter and I actually heard from a few developers, at Gordone, Gordone is the developer of Scanner Radio. If you've ever used the Scanner Radio app, 43% of my income comes from the free version and 57% from the paid version, the pro version.
Still pretty
close. With the free version still residing on 2.2 million phones, but installed over 5.5 million times.
Wow.
With a 41% retention rate. Went all out and gave me a lot of details, and I really, really appreciate it. So I mean, that's huge. Pilot_51 said, I have low numbers since I'm barely marketing my apps, but for my Predisat app with both ad and paid versions, ads are 18% right around revenue. So ads versus paid, it looks like paid's working out there. And then at the Rocco said, my free apps with ads make on average as much as my paid versions, but with the free versions having 10 to 30,000 more downloads. I would think if you're starting out with an app and you don't have the kind of mind share that Rovio has with Angry Birds, that having it free just right off the top allows you to get your app in as many hands as possible. People can impulse install it versus having to try and, look at a paid app that's $3 that has no downloads and no reviews and really kind of say that they want to be the early adopter of that app. Unless it's really, really cool and it captures their imagination, might be kind of hard to make a lot of money that way. So,
well, and with in-app purchasing, I'm noticing that a lot of free apps that come out, they add other benefits to the app or plugins or whatnot, and they're 99 cents to purchase, something like that. I know an app that I reviewed a while ago, Little Photo, does that. So they have a plugin that was 99 cents that I have now downloaded, but I have the original app for free and that was fine. I could have used that, but it's like, okay, well, I'm going to support the developer by buying that plugin because I really like the app. So I think there's a lot of ways to market your app. Not that I'm really talking to developers. We're talking about this one person here, Nick. But there's ways to start making money, starting with the free. So
And I mean, so many developers, you see it in the Android market, everywhere, is that they have a free or they have a light version and then they have a paid for.
Right.
And the paid for doesn't have the ads and the light does. I mean, that's, I think, the best kind of combination, is that you get them hooked because it's free, and then maybe you give them access to a few premium features that they're that a true user of your software is willing to give you $2 for.
Yeah.
You know. So.
All right.
Cool.
Well, cool. Thanks for the question, Nick. I guess it's my turn.
Go for it.
And this is from Skylar. All About Android. I never miss an episode and usually will watch it live. However, if I miss it, I'm always waiting for the tweet from Raygun01 to find out when the newest episode is ready for download. My idea and question is about the mirroring of a tablet. I plan on getting a Samsung 10.1 when it comes out later this month, but I like the idea of being able to mirror my tablet on my television like the iPad and the Apple TV can do. Are there any apps or other hardware that can be used that make it as easy to use the iPad as the iPad and Apple TV? I've seen apps that let you share photos and things like that, but I'm mainly looking for mirroring rather than just sharing pictures. I may have read that question wrong. Thanks for your time, and I'll be watching on Monday. Oh, yeah, and the Samsung Galaxy 2 is just announced for Verizon. False.
I think I
tweeted about that. I was so excited. Oh, my God, it's coming out on Verizon, and then thisismynext.com said, no, that's not the real thing. I think I misread the question. I thought you were talking about media and music and playing that over, you know, kind of a la iPad, Apple TV. And if that is part of your question, you can do that with Double Twist via Air Twist.
And on Live, right?
Well, no. And this is coming. On Live Player app for iPad and Android. It's not out yet. I think they talked about it during E3. To be able to kind of mirror your iPad, but it's not available yet.
Yeah,
it's a specific app, and it's something that you would do. There's always got to be some sort of conduit, and the conduit for this might possibly be the Wii U. Everybody like that name, Wii U. mirroring, I tried to look up apps specifically, and I don't think there's one specific mirroring app.
Find one either. There's got to be one out there.
There's mirroring on your desktop, you know, on your computer, but to your TV, not exactly. But if you're talking about music and videos, you can use Double Twist.
Some phones, they have an HDMI out and they allow you to mirror right there. But I mean, through an app wirelessly, something like that. I don't know about that.
Not yet. Anyway, but I think it's going to come pretty soon. So,
tablets are just too new also for to get that kind of like fourth level functionality just yet.
My guess is with Ice Cream Sandwich, a lot of this stuff is going to be ironed out. Just wait a little bit longer. We will give you more updates on how we like our Samsung Galaxy Tabs and other tablets that come across the market pretty soon. So I hope that helps, Skylar.
All right, Kevin, you're up.
Cool. Hey, AAA, which is a great way to address folks. really enjoying the show. Been using Android for about a year now, but I've never really come up with a good solution for how to organize my screens. I'm just curious as to what you all do. I've switched launchers back and forth. And by the way, you've never mentioned Go Launcher on your show, my favorite launcher.
Oh.
Sorry about that. And just never get things organized in a way that works for me. Thanks for all the tips and suggestions, Smith in Sioux Falls. I will jump out and say that for me, I'm actually a big fan of muscle memory in that I have two screens. I only use two home screens.
Oh, wow.
Because I have it now to the point where I'm kind of dangerously using my phone while I should be doing other things. And so it's all about figuring out what how I'm holding the phone, how I'm actually holding the phone. And so Gmail should be something that I can do right from the bottom, because then I want to scroll up through the messages, as nerdy as that sounds. So like I open Gmail, and then when I know it's open, I want to be able to quickly kind of roll it up.
So you leave your thumb in the...
Yeah, so it's like the bottom right of my screen, whereas TweetDeck is in the upper right, because then I'm going to flip down through the messages I missed.
He's really
I'm blown away.
Thank God you got this question,
I know,
Kevin.
Right?
I don't use folders because I think I don't like the way they work on Android just yet. I think they'll get better. My main screen is all the things I use all the time, and my wife is a contact in the lower right corner. And on the second screen, I have kind of secondary apps like Google Goggles, LastPass, and then two widgets for controlling music and power. So for me, it's all about memorizing where things are and putting them somewhere where your thumb can get at them, and then go on from there. So I just got to remember to take my pills, and that's my answer.
That's actually really smart. Having only two screens, mm-hmm.
where most people would just be tempted to load up as much as they can.
I'm actually that
launcher
that
gives them
girl.
10 screen, you know.
I'm
ability.
Also a G1 veteran, so I remember thinking, like, okay, is this worth it? Like, you add that widget, man, and there goes your speed. Like,
right.
You know, I'm used to having a very low grade hardware.
Jason, I'm going to go to you before me talking about organizing.
Man, you know,
I don't organize.
No, I'm just, yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm kind of that camp too. I mean, I really just end up with maybe 3 or 4 home screens. I mean, here, hold on. Let me pull up the screen here.
Okay. Put you on the spot. Boom. Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. My home screen almost always looks like this. It's the news app at the top. It's the power control widget at the bottom, and kind of the 8 apps that I use most regularly, I'd say. And that, you know, I've got a couple of these little Gmail. It's a widget called Gmail Unread. I believe widget, and essentially allows you to link to different inboxes that you have and show you how much unread email you have in each individual inbox. I use Launcher Pro normally, and I have kind of the 4 kind of contact and then browser things down at the bottom there, which normally I have my contacts, like my wife, you know, programmed down here, but I actually had to reinstall my ROM recently, so I haven't put everything back together the way it was. On my right-hand side, I have like a calendar, which is, what is the name of this calendar? I know I've talked about it on the show before, and I'm sorry.
Is that Beautiful Widgets?
Up at the top, that's Fancy Widgets.
No.
The calendar itself is, maybe it'll tell me in settings, Agenda Widget. There we go. Mm. It's Agenda Widget Pro, and it's just really customizable. And it shows me just kind of like more my personal calendar than my work calendar, because my work calendar is pretty pretty stable. It's pretty much the same every day. And then on my left-hand side, I have all of these little things, which look just like icons, but it's they're actually... what is this called? This is the...
I know this one.
It's... man, why am I blanking on these app names? Essentially, it allows you to group your apps based on whatever you want them to be grouped as. So instead of having a folder on my desktop, I have like multimedia. And as I install new apps, it will prompt me and say, oh, actually... here's one of them. Folder organizer is what it's called. And it'll prompt me when I install something, and it'll say, hey, this has no associated label. What is it? And then if I happen to have that label on my front screen, it's automatically added into there. So my photo label will have all of my photo apps that I have. And that just makes the left screen more of like my all-purpose screen of things that I use somewhat regularly. My main screen, the things I use all the time. And my right screen, more just like information that's good to know. That's pretty much about it. Eileen.
I don't even think you need to show my phone. I'm sorry, but I don't have a very good organization at all. I mean, my home screen shows probably, you know, what's happening with me right now is I'm trying like 3 or 4 different launchers right now.
Yeah.
And so the problem is I'm reorganizing based
on
what I
set it up every single time.
Well, based on what I see with a different launcher, I start deleting things and moving things. I've actually lately have just been deleting a ton of apps that I have downloaded that I never use as well. So my phone's kind of a mess right now. It still is. So there's really no point in going to me.
Kevin, look at that mess.
It's so messy. Oh my God, look at that. Missing icon. Oh, missing icon.
I can't believe you're showing us this right now.
This is horrible. It's really bad, you guys. Yeah. So I don't have a very good organizational flow with my phone yet,
but
I'm working on it. And because of that question, because of Kevin's answer, I'm going to start working on it some more.
All right. Feeling the guilt. Actually, the next email has a lot to do about what we just talked about. So I'm sure some of the same apps will be brought up, as well as some different ones. Let's see here. It's Rob says, first off, I love your show. I got an HTC Inspire a couple of weeks ago, and I am in love. I had an iPhone 3G, so being able to multitask is just great. And the notification system is a bazillion times better. iOS 5, eat your heart out, Rob says. My question for you all is this. What are your must-have apps? I'm a huge Google products user, so I already have Reader, Listen, Music, etc. First thing, but what else is there? Man, the Google apps are kind of
the things
that I make sure that I have immediately.
Hmm. I agree.
You know, the ones that I use very regularly, Pulse, Folder Organizer, which I just kind of showed you, Astro, which is like a file manager, which is very handy if you ever need to go into kind of the structure of your SD card for whatever reason, and Chrome to Phone, which You know, I just love to have that installed from the get-go. I don't use it all the time, but when I need to use it, it's nice to have it there. And it's so much better than entering in URLs into the browser to try and pull it up. It just kind of lets you send it from your computer directly to your phone immediately. And then all the Google apps. I mean, they're right at the top for me.
Yeah, all the Google apps are good. I really like Double Twist. I think you should have the Amazon App Store on there.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I know. I've picked some obvious ones on there. Little Photo's my favorite photo editing app. I have Read It Later. I save it to Read It Later. Read It Later is my Android reader, and then Instapaper is whatever. Jort is a calendar system. It's that big old widget here on my disorganized phone that I have. I use Yelp a lot, believe it or not. Dropbox, TuneIn Radio, and I really like YouTube. So one thing that I'm having a hard time finding for me is a Twitter app. I am not happy with any of them. I'll go on record right now. We'll probably end up doing another arena on Twitter apps. I'm not happy with anything right now.
Nothing.
Nothing. I keep jumping back and forth to all. Believe me, you name the app, I've probably tried it, and there's something about it I don't like. So that's one thing I can't recommend because I'm personally having a hard time with it. So help. All right.
What about you, Kevin?
So LastPass, the password management system that, Leo really likes and other folks, I really love for managing passwords and for opening stuff on your Android that you only have the password for on your desktop.
Is that the plugin for Dolphin or is that a standalone?
Actually,
app?
No, I pay for a pro account. Okay. And so the LastPass Android app actually has two ways. You can actually send a page from the regular browser to LastPass. So you reopen it, but this time with the password filled in. Mm-hmm. Or you could actually has its own keyboard in the system. So you can actually type with the LastPass keyboard, which looks exactly like the regular keyboard, except it has a little button that's filled with LastPass. Which is awesome. Cool. Kik Messenger, K-I-K, because I have friends and relatives who really hate paying for SMS plans, and so I don't either. So I accommodate them, and Kik pretty much is like free SMS, and it can even do pictures. Cool.
It's cross-platform, too, so it's like BlackBerry, iPhone,
Yeah, it's like BBM for every system, pretty much. And let's see, the other one I was going to mention was... So I also use Chrome to phone and the reverse of it, which is Android to cloud, which is an app that sends stuff. I'm looking at my phone and, here comes the train or whatever. So you send it to your Chrome browser. The next time you open Chrome, whatever you're looking at shows up right there. So,
oh, that's sweet. I haven't heard of that one.
Nice. Yeah, it's like the reverse of Chrome to phone. So Chrome to phone, Android to cloud, LastPass, and Kik.
Radical. Awesome. That's great. Let's see here. You know what? Before we continue on, we should probably do an ad, actually.
Thank our sponsor.
Yeah, let's do that. This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Netflix delivers movies directly to your home. That saves you time, money, and hassle. You can instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies streamed directly to your PC or your Mac. Or you can stream it to devices that are Netflix capable. Xbox 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii, Android, just saying. Plus, get DVDs by mail in about a business day. You can watch as many movies as you want, anytime you want. There are never any late fees, no due dates. I've had the same movie hanging out on my fireplace since January, and I haven't sent it back.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm that guy.
You know what? That's happened to me, though. I had Hotel Rwanda somewhere in my house, and then I couldn't find it. And then I thought, oh, my God. And then I finally found it, which was, I think, six months later. It was terrible.
Because we signed up for the one DVD package because we just wanted instant streaming before instant streaming was its own package. And now that it is, I still keep it because you never know. I might want to watch something that isn't on instant streaming. But there's a lot of really good stuff on instant streaming. I haven't watched any movies in the past week. Have either of you guys? Have you watched it on Netflix instant
streaming? I did watch it on Netflix instant streaming. And it was called An Education, starring Carey Mulligan and Peter Skarsgård.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Skarsgård.
Is that his last name, Skarsgård?
Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Great movie.
It was a great movie. It was kind of creepy at the beginning, though, don't you think? This, like, older man who's, kind of, like, hanging out with, I don't know, she was 16 or 17-year-old high school girl.
17, but I know very little about UK law, so.
I know, right? So it was a little creepy on my end when I was watching, and I still like the movie quite a bit. I love that that era that they captured. Loved all the soundtrack and everything. And she was nominated for an Oscar, I think, for this film.
It definitely had some Oscar buzz,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
So that is my pick if you want to see some creepy. I mean, it's not that creepy. But he was a little bit older. I was like, man, he's older. And her parents kept letting her go out with him. And I was like,
I guess
like, really?
it was a different time.
I know. It was a different time, right? 60s.
So. There we go. Okay. Well, you can instantly watch that creepy movie or choose from thousands of TV episodes and other movies. It's not really creepy. I haven't even seen it. I don't really know. when you register for a free trial membership, go to netflix.com/twit. Be sure to sign up for your free trial. That's netflix.com/twit. And we thank Netflix for their support of All About Android and Twit. And let's see here. Well, let's jump back to Kevin. I think he has the next email.
Okay. From Jasmar. AAA crew, is there any way to increase the amount of space available for pinning music? And in Google Music, we presume, new kind of, you know, stream cloud service from Google. It only shows just under 300 megabytes available on my Vibrant.
That's interesting.
And so we all kind of thought about it a little bit. And Jason, did you have anything? Or
no, I mean, I did a little searching over the week. I couldn't find. I'm really curious to know where the 300 megabit number that is included in the email came from. Was it a matter of looking at a folder on the SD card and that's what was stored there? Or was this from some sort of like a press release or something that Google put out? I haven't heard any official number. I have to imagine at some point that they give you controls. But right now, if you go into the settings, it's very limited what you can actually do with your music.
Yeah. There. And also, it doesn't make sense to me when it is and isn't grabbing music for me. It just shows up randomly sometimes. I'm at a friend's house and I'm like, oh, look, it's trying to download music for me. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. But not when I'm at home, you know. It's a pretty rough product right now, I would say. I think we could agree.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot of potential. Did you have Wi-Fi only checked? And you were...
I did. And you know, it's still, I have no real kind of idea when it's going to do what it does. So I assume that's probably just a beta thing that'll eventually go away, the 300 meg limit.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, they will hit a point where they're going to charge for the service, I think. At least that's what we can assume, because when they announced it, they said it's free for now. So probably eventually they're going to charge something for the service. And once they're bringing in dough for this kind of a service, you have to imagine that those are the kind of details that they have to kind of reveal, or at least give you the ability to make some changes around. So we'll hope for that. But sorry, we don't have any exact information. If any of you do, send us an email, aaa@twit.tv, and let us know. That'd be awesome. All right.
Okay, this next question is from Rick Hubner. Great show. Love the app recommendations. In AAA 11, one of the arena apps was Swift Key X. That's the one I reviewed. So far, I love the keyboard, but I have a problem with its privacy settings. I have two-factor authentication configured for all of my Gmail and Google Apps accounts. When I tried to use an application-specific password to access my Gmail account in SwiftKey X Beta, I was told that it had to have my actual account login. I'm not about to give that login to a keyboard application. And looking into the privacy statement for SwiftKey X, they mention the usual buzzwords, SSL, password protected, but don't mention encryption. So according to their privacy statement, they will use SSL and then password protect your data on their servers. Hello, do they not read the Sony PSN news? I'll probably still use the keyboard because of the tap and hold to get special characters, but in no way I'm giving this app access to my Gmail, let alone Twitter and Facebook. I think when I reviewed last week, I was a little, maybe I wasn't so clear, but I was kind of dancing around the fact, like, look, if you don't want to give them all this information, that's fine too, because I know that there's a lot of people who are really wary about privacy, and you should be. So are you guys wary about any of that?
I'd like to think that I am, but I mean, when I loaded up SwiftKey X, I was like, oh yeah, sure, okay, yeah, I'll do Twitter. Oh yeah, I'll do that too. That'll be cool. It'll totally learn my thing.
I use two-factor as well, and kudos to Rick for reading the privacy statement.
Yeah.
You know, all the way through and getting down to exactly what they were going to do with his Gmail password when they had it. I got to say, I would probably be a little wary of giving someone my actual Gmail password at this point now too. So, I all you can do is just, you know, figure out what's worth it to you or not, whether it's worth it to have, you know, instant Twitter, and especially for something like Twitter and Facebook integration, like,
I mean, it's still going to learn from your typing. It's just it'll learn faster, supposedly. And keep in mind, this is still in beta. So, yeah, you probably should be wary, you know, and maybe I should be a little bit more wary instead of
SwiftKey X isn't necessarily their first app either. You know, they had SwiftKey before SwiftKey X, and so it's not like they're this fly by night ish company that just suddenly appeared and asked for these things. Having said that, yeah, it all comes down to personal discretion.
I mean,
your security is entirely up to you, and this is not an essential feature. It's not something that you have to do. It may make the app run a little better and predict your text, but maybe that's not that important. Maybe it's not so important as to, you know, enable you to give away your password.
Exactly.
Completely understand that. It makes me second guess my own decision to do that. Maybe I should have thought about that too.
But thank you, Rick, for that email, and you know, a cautionary email at that. So,
all right,
and hopefully SwiftKey changes their code, or you know, Google allows them to use a application specific password very soon.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think I used the Gmail one. I think I only did Twitter, but anyways.
No, I used it all.
Let's see here. Sergey wrote in and said, "Hi guys, here's the problem." Getting right down to it. Last week, I downloaded and installed a Launcher Pro on my LG Optimus T unrooted phone. Then I hit the home button, and as always, for the first time, it asked me if I want to use Launcher Pro screen or LG screen, the stock screen. And at the bottom, there was a checkbox saying "used by default for this action." So I checked the checkbox and accidentally clicked on LG screen, and now I have a problem. I cannot open the Launcher Pro. It just never asked me. It always goes straight to my stock LG screen. I tried everything, reinstalling Launcher Pro. Also, I went into the properties of the Launcher Pro, and I cleared all the stored cache and data there. Nothing seems to work. Can you explain what the checkbox is used for that I have checked? So when I read over this and parse it, I think the problem is that you set a default on LG screen, not Launcher Pro.
Right.
So you need to go to your All Apps tab of Manage Applications and find LG screen, if that's what they call it there, and clear those defaults. Basically, a good rule of thumb is that you clear the defaults on the app that is currently set as default in order to go back to square one. So
close, right?
Yeah, so close. You were on the right track. It was just you're going to the wrong app. If Launcher Pro is not the one that's launching for you by default, then it's not the one that you have to clear the defaults on. It's the one that's actually launching every time.
So why isn't there a universal defaults, like a screen or a scroll where I can see what everything has as its default? Like most OSs have that. You can manage preferred applications or whatever.
That's a really good point. That would be a good addition to the system. And if that doesn't exist as an app, I'm sure somebody's working on it now.
Yeah, no kidding.
So there we go. All right. Let's see. Oh, I guess it's back to you, Kevin.
Okay. Gang, I'm loving my Android, but I keep getting an application data space is low message. I'm having to manage my running apps more than I would like to. Is there any fix for this? I've researched and can't find anything. And P.S., typed the swipe and loving it. Love the show. Keep it up, Jim. Sent from his HTC Droid Incredible. So there, it's kind of a two diverging path answer. If you've rooted your phone, or if you want to root your phone, you can manage this pretty easily, actually, with a lot of third-party firmware. You can activate apps to SD, which allows you to store any app on your phone onto your SD card. I couldn't explain it right here on the show, but you know, look into anything like CyanogenMod has it. Most other firmwares do, and that way it's pretty easy to move most or all of your applications to your SD card, and your internal memory space will be much more free. But you can also do things like if you have Android 2.2 or later, you can actually manually do that in your settings. And that's by going to Menu, Settings, Applications, and then click on... It won't be every app, but most apps you can move your SD card from there. A lot of them, especially third-party from good developers. And then finally, if you really need a little bit more space, certain apps like Gmail, Facebook, others, Calendar will sometimes accrue large amounts of like their data, and you can actually clear that data or clear the cache for that app by going to the same application section of the settings and in that app hitting clear data or clear cache. And that'll give you, you know, a little bit more space to work with if you just need like a little more space to install something.
Okay. So, yeah. No, that's great. I should also actually point out, because this is kind of pertinent to the app before, and you were just kind of talking about as well, the apps to SD option also helps, Joshua Caleb pointed this out in the chat room, also helps on clearing all app caches. So it's an app that will allow you to bulk move your apps to SD if they're allow, if it's allowable within those apps. But it can also clear up all those app caches from the email we talked about before. So sounds like in both cases, that's a really good app to use.
Indeed.
All right, cool. Nice. Well, there we go. That was easy. Next
easy-ish.
One is... yeah, more or less.
All you have to do is...
these 20 things. All right, Eileen, you're next.
Oh, okay.
Go for it.
All right. This is from Andrew in Florida, who says, what a disappointing arena, guys. This is from last week. All your keyboard replacers still look like... what is that?
Keyboards.
Keyboards. Oh, I see what that meant. Okay, sorry. Boring. I feel very compelled to share this little beauty with you guys. I've had one of those never can go back things. Well, technically, I also have a slide out keyboard. Aha. I've never felt that the virtual keyboard makes sense on a tiny phone screen, and this was a godsend to me. Check it out. 8-pin.
All right. So let's see.
Here it is.
So this is a truly alternative keyboard.
And it's free apparently, and right? Right now?
I believe it's free. It's essentially free right now. It's hard to explain, but you have an X. You have four different lines, essentially, and different letters going up each line, and a little dot in the center. The dot is where your finger starts. Now, if you look around the lines, you can see that as they go up, essentially, as your finger moves from box to box, it moves on the cursor within the box. I'm trying to explain this for audio listeners. It's really hard to explain because it's a totally different...
Imagine an X.
Maybe you just have to check out the video at 8pin.com, but you're not typing. You're essentially kind of swirling your finger around in a circle to select different letters. And I tried to use it when it first launched a decent amount of months ago, and it was just one of those things where I was like, yeah, maybe this would be useful if I really was patient enough to give it the time to do it. But I just don't have that kind of patience myself. But but it sounds like, in this case, totally working for this person. So,
well, great. Good suggestion.
And yeah, it's completely
sorry
different.
Like ours. But,
Looking for alternative looking keyboards as well as just options. So.
Hey, Jason, I know you really wanted to answer one. Maybe we'll skip to that one.
Oh, yeah. So let's see here. So, okay, I found it. All right. So Steve in Chicago... wrote in, said, I got my music, my Google Music beta invite and uploaded all my music. And after using the service, I have to say that I'm going to stick with Amazon. I can see where people that have very large music collections would like Google better, but 20,000 songs is a lot of music. It's not like I'm not a music lover. I've been playing guitar since 13, have amassed quite a collection over that time. It comes nowhere close to 20,000. That amount almost seems too much, but who am I to say? Either way, I'm going to stick with Amazon for one reason. My wife, we use the one login for Amazon so we can both sign in to the Amazon MP3 app and have access to all the music there. The other perk of Amazon is that it is more than just music. You can upload photos and documents too. Can't fault it for that. That's a great bonus there. My wife loves the photo part. I backed up all of her photos there, and she loves looking at them when she's having a bad day at work. I could give other reasons why I prefer Amazon, but I'll leave it at that. One other thing, the one login works for the Amazon App Store too. I'm able to put paid apps on both mine and my wife's G2. We've talked about that in a previous episode. I wanted to read this because there is one of your cruxes here is that you want to be able to load the library on both of your phones, and that is actually possible. And I thought this might be a good tip for everybody if you want to share your library with your significant other, for example. And I tried it out with my wife's phone, and it totally works for us. Basically, I gave my wife my Gmail credentials as an account, an official account on her phone. But then it takes you to that select what to sync screen, and I deselected everything. So it's not syncing my email, it's not syncing my calendar, anything like that. But what that does is that logs my account and credentials into her phone. So then when you install and run the music beta and you go into the settings, you can choose my email, which is where my music beta music resides, as the music account to connect to. Excuse me. And so now on her phone, she has access to my music library as well. So that is totally possible with Google Music. So if that, it sounds like there were other reasons why you moved on. But
so as soon as your wife looks into the settings, though, that's a real good litmus test to how strong your marriage is. Like, because if your wife looks in the settings, it's like, oh, look, music contacts, calendars.
You know, there's nothing in my email that we don't. She knows my passwords. I know her passwords. It's just the.
Okay.
Yes, we share it all, I guess.
Wow.
So anyways, if you are okay with that level of trust, it is possible. There you go. Right. I don't know, actually, maybe you guys can answer this. If I've added my credentials on even my phone, is there any way for me to see like my password from there? It probably would block it out, right?
Can't see the password. Yeah.
So, well, there's that. You still have access to all the emails.
And actually, even now, I think when you add your add a Google account to a phone, you have to if you use two-factor authentication, you have to use the application-specific password. So,
okay.
All right. Then again, explaining to your wife that would be kind of like, oh yeah, trust me, you can't get into anything.
Hey,
don't worry,
you're just
getting the music, baby. Don't worry about it. You can't see anything.
All right. Well, I think we've ran out of time for emails.
We
went through a lot, and there was still a handful
we could maybe get through them all, but no, it's just.
I'm like, oh no, I think we're running out of time, and we still have the arena.
Yeah, we still have the arena. Should we, you know what? Let's, before we do the arena, we'll do this ad for, you guessed it, Trim Tonic, which is a natural appetite suppressant tonic that takes the edge off of being hungry. What makes Trim Tonic unique is that it uses no stimulants to get this effect. It's true. No caffeine, no hujia. Instead, it has 8 active ingredients, some of which have clinical studies showing their ability to curb appetite and reduce body fat. The three main ingredients are, and I'm totally doing this by memory, Acranthus ispara, Ervingia gabonensis seed extracts, both of which are tropical plants used in India and Africa for curbing appetites. And the third is cocoa leaf extract.
It's like you're speaking a different language today, Jason.
I'm just saying words at this point. Words that are very hard to say. Be sure to visit www.braintonic.com for more information. Enter coupon code TWIT and you'll get a 20% discount. We thank them for their support of All About Android and TWIT. And now let's get into the arena. Let's go.
To enter, one lives.
Somebody called me out and said, why is it two enter when there's always three apps? I was like,
three enter, one return. We gotta change that.
I know. Yes, that was from a time when it was just Eileen and I in the beta episodes. And
theater.
It's more theatrical.
We want to keep you guessing. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can get a new VO change on that, or just leave it the same. It's a relic from the past. So last week, just to kind of fill you in, last week, Jason got his comeuppance finally.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. So check it out. We have the favorite non-stock keyboards that we talked about.
And he's not here.
He's not here to savor his victory.
Wow.
Yeah, so Swipe came in at 55% voting. SwiftKey, second place with 38%. Still very respectable voting numbers. And then Thumb Keyboard. Now, mind you, this is Thumb Keyboard for the phone. And not as good, 7%.
New apps generally don't do well.
They don't have that mind share.
They
Swipe and SwiftKey are really known apps. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows those apps.
But both are beta.
That's true.
Interestingly enough. Congrats to Swipe. Congrats to Ron. We'll give him the results. And you guys are going to make him a happy guy.
Yeah. You just made his day whenever he hears about this. So this week, it's a grab bag of the listener feedback episode. We like to just kind of throw it up in the air and see what we all come back with. And so it's kind of a hodgepodge of different types of apps. And so I'm just going to kick it off. And, you know, earlier I talked a little bit, we were talking about podcasts and I kind of teased to the arena. Mine is called Mort Player Audiobooks. I've been doing a lot of decent amount of audiobook listening lately because I've got a long commute from home to Twit. And I've, like I said earlier, I've used Double Twist a lot and I've used it for music, but I've been using it for audiobooks up until very, very recently because, it's car friendly in the dock. And that's what I really need out of like music players or audiobook players, anything like that. It needs to be car friendly. I don't want to have to be looking, for that little button to push. And Mort Player Audiobooks is an app that I kind of discovered by accident, but I've really been digging it here. Let's see here. It's down at the bottom here. I'll go ahead and launch it. The thing I liked about Mort Player that I've been liking a lot about apps in general lately is how how configurable they are, which can be kind of intimidating at first when you get an app that is like highly configurable because you don't even know where to begin. But in my case, in this case, I actually really like what it can do. What you can see here, this is actually one of many views. Mort Player has a bunch of different themes that you can use, essentially. And this is kind of the big art theme, which I like when I'm in handheld mode. But I do most of my audiobook listening while I'm in the car. So I'll go to preferences, and I'm changing this just for effect because I don't actually have the car dock in here. But layout for portrait orientation, just to give you an idea of what the car orientation looks like. And, you know, it's a subtle difference, but it makes some of the buttons a little bit bigger. The play and stop are at the top. The artwork is smaller because it makes room for a little bit of, a little of the other options that you have here. But so that was kind of key one for me is if I'm going to be spending all my time in my car listening to audiobooks, I need a player that is kind of friendly to that. And so far, this has that. It has this lock screen configuration mode. Here, I'm going to play this. Turn it down here. So you can configure what your lock screen does when an audiobook is playing. There we go. So that's my lock screen while an audiobook is playing. And this will be very useful for when I'm at the gym and my phone does what it always does with a headphone. Suddenly it detects that the headphone has unplugged. My screen is totally turning off here. And so I can have the controls without having to unlock. And if I wanted to unlock, I could just hit that and be back into the app. It does a couple of really cool things just around audiobooks that I feel like I need in the car. One thing I've noticed is when I've lost my place or I need to go back or something like that, the little slider, when you're talking about an audiobook file that's like 10 hours long, the little slider on that tiny little screen real estate, I mean, just a tiny little jump on that takes you 2 minutes forward, 2 minutes back. Well, this has a little button that's more a jump to specific time, go to track time, and you can actually adjust that manually. Maybe not car friendly, but if you've lost your place, it's a really good way to get right back to where you need to go. It keeps track of all of your audiobooks, where you are within those audio files. So if you're listening to multiples at once, it'll keep track and bookmark the last place that you ended. You can also do a setting that essentially allows you to set an amount of time that it plays from when you resume. So if you stop and then the next day you play your audiobook, you can set it so that it plays, you know, the last minute that you already heard so that you kind of get back up to speed, which is really nice. It also has these little bookmark features down here. So this, if I push that, I can drop a bookmark that isn't just my reading bookmark, but that's maybe like I want to return here later because this is really good, useful information. You can give it a label, you can set the time code and hit it, and then you can see all of your bookmarks in this little list that you've created, and hopefully you've done a good job naming them, and you can be like, oh, that's an app that I mean to check out. I'll check that out when I get to work, and you can go back to your bookmark and find it. And that does nothing to interrupt your playback bookmark, which is kind of what you use probably more regularly on a daily basis. It allows you to delete files actually from the drive or from the device itself, which kind of harkens back to that email that we talked about. Folder navigation. Right now I have these intermixed with my music folder. So if I skip from folder to folder, you're going to see just different, you know, music artists coming in here. And Mort actually does do a music player, and I haven't installed it, but I assume that it's kind of takes a lot of what this does on the audiobook side and integrates it into the music side of things. What else am I missing? It has EQ, it has sleep timer, alarm, has a ton of themes. You can set different default settings for regular mode, car mode, and your alarm clock dock, if that's important. It's just very customizable, and I really like that about it. The on-screen controls can be a little cluttered and confusing. That's probably my one downside to this at first. But once you spend a little bit of time and you really find the layout that works for you, you can find one that doesn't feel so cluttered. And what's weird is that their default layout is, in my opinion, probably the worst layout that there is. So they start you off with this thing like, ugh. But then once you kind of get in there and kind of pick around and stuff, you can find something that works. So that's it. That's Mort Player Audiobooks. It's just a really good audiobook playing app. I haven't used the Audible app, so I don't know how it compares to that, because I'm sure everybody's like, oh, well, have you used that? Because that's the big daddy. But
I don't know. This one has a ton more features, I think.
You know, one thing that it also doesn't have that I know people ask for a lot is increased speed playback. I can't find that in here, so that you can maybe play it at double time and read a book twice as fast. But check it out. Mort Player Audiobooks. It's a beta and it's free in the App Store. All right. Who is next?
I think it's me.
Go for it.
All right. So I have a little gripe. I mentioned this about Instagram. Okay. First of all, let's just lay this out there. I own an iPhone as well as an Android. I actually co-host an iOS show with my buddy Scott Johnson on a different network that you might know of called App Slappy Show. I like to think that I'm well-rounded and I know both universes pretty well. Well, I'm still learning, I think, Android more so than iOS. I'm the noob in the group. One app that I like that has been getting a ton of buzz and today just came out with a user total is Instagram. And apparently Instagram today has 5 million users. I use that app. If you follow me on Twitter, I use that app. I really like it. I like the community. I like people that are liking photos and whatever. And I'm dying for an Android app. So that's my real rant is that a long time ago, I think about 8-9 months ago, Sarah and Leo interviewed the Instagram creators when they first launched and were getting tons of buzz. And they told me themselves that they were going to have an Android app. I don't know what the holdup is. It's been too long. And, you know, I think Android,
calling you out.
The Android community deserves the app. Well, since it's not there, I'm going to tell you about another app because I'm so mad. And this one is called MyTubo. What a great name, right? Look at that cat. Oh. All right. Well, anyways.
Oh,
MyTubo
did I miss,
is free. Yeah, you kind of missed.
Let me, a little
you know what?
Thing.
Let me do it again.
Yeah, do it.
Here we go.
Go
Let
for
me
it.
Launch again.
Go
oh,
for
the
it.
Little
Aww,
cat.
A cat with a camera.
Okay. So I will do what I haven't done yet, which is to
compare. Side by side.
Side by side. Look at the colors. Look at how similar they are. When I see when I see photos here on MyTubo, it's really almost the same app. And I know I'm being a little vicious here, but until we get Instagram, I feel like, well, shoot, what are we going to use? And PicPlease is a great app that I also use that is sort of in the same vein. I just don't think it has the, and I because I use both, it doesn't have the same rabbit following as Instagram. So I found this app and I thought, well, what the heck? It has the same features. So you can actually load up a photo or take a photo. And I'll take an ugly photo here. Let me see. Take that
I
photo.
I think that's a beautiful photo.
Oh, thank you. I know it's not that great of a photo. But
still
and,
life.
Okay, so here, look at all these filters. Look at all these filters here that you can actually play with, which I think there are some really, really decent filters. And let me, should I compare again with Instagram? Because it's kind of sad.
because it's so
it's incredibly similar. Look at that.
That does.
It's very similar.
Man, is that's really close.
It's way close, right?
You know, but yeah.
I mean, at the same time, you know, what are you going to do? Okay, so then there's some sharing features. I think most of the users, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody listening or whatever, most of the users from like, you know, I see the heavy amount of users being in Asia. So there's a couple of sharing things that I don't know Sina or Kaijin.
Or
I don't know those.
Is that Facebook?
Facebook. And Twitter is on there. And then there's another one. Ren? I don't know.
Ren.
Yeah, you know Ren.
Everyone knows Ren.
You put your description and your location. I'm not going to post that one because, well, I guess I could and just not share it. But it is very, very similar to Instagram. And I, you know, it's a decent app. I just, obviously, I don't see as many users on here. You could like and comment and share after you post the video. And there's a bunch of people liking. Those of you in the Android community who don't understand Instagram, I get it because you haven't used it yet. But there's something about it when somebody likes your photo and, you know, people are commenting on your little photos within the app. It's cool. It's a cool experience. And so I really think that it sucks that the Android community has been left out this entire time. And I cannot wait for that app to come. In the meantime, check out MyTubo. I'm Eileen TV on there. Let's all be friends. Let's all create a new community on there. How about
that's
that?
That's a way to create a community right
there.
And
it's free. I don't think this is going to surpass the 5 million users on Instagram. But come on. You know what? There was actually an app called Andygram that someone had made and was pulled from the Android App Store. It was an Instagram ripoff. Instagram told them to pull it off. And
maybe now they will do that with my 202.
Maybe.
Thanks, Eileen.
I don't know. This has been going on for a long... I downloaded this a month ago, and I think it's Steve4175 on my Tubo is the one who told me about it. Thank you, Steve. I hate to do that, but it's sort of like I'm just angry that it should already be here, and why not? I don't see that the app itself has so many features that cannot be ported to Android, because I see it right here. What do you think, Kevin?
CEO and founder on TechCrunch Disrupt, 2 weeks ago, said just on stage right next to David Karp from Tumblr, they asked him about Android, and he said, basically the response was, "It's Android has a lot of development problems. We have a lot of problems developing for Android." So pretty straight up for them, I guess.
Yeah, so I just feel like there's a ton of people that are just going to be left out, which sucks. That's why. Yeah. I'm doing this. You don't have to vote for my app. I just wanted to do a rant, quite honestly. You don't have to. I mean, I love Pick Please. Stay with that if you want. I just wanted to be able to make a point. That's all.
Or join this and,
hit you up. And,
yeah.
There you go.
In your social stream.
Are you going to join my Tubo?
Oh, well, sure. And I'm sure I'll be Raygun01 unless somebody rushes out and beats me to it right now. Please don't do that. All right. Well, cool. And we'll end with you, Kevin. What do you have?
Okay, so this might be unfair for a grab bag, but I just got a HTC Thunderbolt. I actually said goodbye to my Nexus One, which was the stock Android experience and the total Google immersion plan, I guess you call it. And so it was nothing but straight up Android, no skins or anything. And the HTC Thunderbolt, which I like a lot, except for it came with the HTC Sense interface, which I am not a fan of at all. Partly just because I know Google so the standard Android so well, but there's also a lot of quirks I really didn't like about it. So in one respect, Launcher Pro, which is a really great launcher program, you can download for free and you get a lot of stuff for free. Launcher Pro basically is like a 90% close to the Android stock experience. It's just icons, and they're pretty standard Android looking icons. The dock at the bottom is a little, kind of, you can stylize it. You can do the Apple, 10% glass tilt thing. You can do shadows, perspectives. But really what it does is it allows you to take control of your phone again and basically remove the branded experience you might not like, HTC Sense, Moto Blur, Samsung TouchWiz. And that's cool in itself. I just love it for that. But you also get a lot of really other neat features. You get tons and tons of settings. If you love to geek around in settings and change the delay on how fast your apps show up when you, hit the app button, you can change that. You can disable trackball scrolling. You can, change the effects that happen when you move things around. You get, on the home screen, you get resizable widgets. That's if you pay for the app, actually. But you can actually, which is actually a feature they, I believe they showed us for Ice Cream Sandwich at Google I.O. Coming in the future to Android itself. But right now, using Launcher Pro, you can actually resize your widgets. You just press and hold on them, and you can choose exactly how many columns and rows you get. And you can, if you're watching right now, you can see that you can make your widgets as big or as small as you want.
I totally forgot that you could do that.
it's a really great way to basically take control of your phone again. And some folks have seen, kind of speed performance increases by using Launcher Pro instead of the launcher it came with. Other folks just love the idea that you can geek around with it and change your bottom bar from like three icons to five.
Right.
Keep Google Voice in the dock at the bottom instead of having to give up an icon to it, which is great when you only use two home screens. So I love Launcher Pro in many, many ways. But if nothing else, don't let Motorola or Samsung dictate what your phone should look like. Use Launcher Pro and design it yourself.
Nice. Well, I kind of have to agree. Unfortunately, because awesome. I'm battling you in the arena right now, but I have to agree. I mean, it's my launcher. It's what I use. It's what I've been using. I've upgraded to the pro version. I love it. It's a fantastic experience. So that is that. Well, if you would like to vote for your favorite of the grab bag apps, of course, it's not pulling up for me right now. You can do so. poll.cm/1859. There we go. poll.cm/1859, 1859. And you can choose between Mort Player audiobooks, my Tubo, or Launcher Pro. My gut tells me I know what's going to win here.
Congrats, Kevin.
But you never know.
My Tubo.
Congrats, Kevin.
You never, ever know.
You know, I'm really glad you did Launcher Pro because next week's arena is going to be launchers. And Launcher Pro, if we had done that in a launcher arena, was going to win, was going to wipe everyone away. So now that Kevin did it and is going to wipe everyone away this week, yeah. Jason and I and Ron, we're going to have to come up with alternatives.
Nice.
Give
AWD some space to shine.
Exactly. Shine a little spotlight on a different launcher. I'm using a few right now that I'm not quite sure if I really am digging, but we'll see. So.
Yeah, and I actually read about one. I'm not going to say the name of it because I think it's going to be the one that I'm going to do a few weeks ago and kind of threw it away. Threw it away into a folder in the hopes to come back to it later. And so this will be my opportunity to do that instead of Launcher, which is what I would totally do.
would have won. So I'm glad that Kevin will win this week. And
there we go.
I've already just decided.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. You got to boost yours up a little bit.
No one's going to pick my Tubo.
Well, we'll see about
I'm
that.
Loving the app, but no one's going to pick it because, you know, maybe some people feel, oh, what a cheap knockoff or whatever. And I feel a little douchey doing that on the show because I do like Instagram and I still use it. So whatever. I'm just upset that it's not on Android yet.
It's okay.
I don't understand why.
It will be sometime
soon. I know it's hard to develop for Android, but I still think it should be there. Even on a few phones. Be like Netflix, you know, come out for a few phones and then, you know, gradually release more. I don't know.
All right. Wow. Well, with that, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate
having you on
yet again. Go ahead and let people know where they can find you and everything you do.
Okay. I'm Kevin Purdy, all one word on Twitter. And I am the author of the Complete Android Guide at CompleteAndroidGuide.com, which covers all phones and most interfaces, including Sense. You know, I'm not a hater. Just a very particular guy. So CompleteAndroidGuide.com, a book that covers everything on Android from 1.6 all the way to 2.3 and 3.0, the new tablet.
Right on. We'll definitely be asking you to come back again because you always just bring extra level of knowledge in the Android front. So thank you again. And Eileen, how can people find you?
Oh, well, I'm on Twitter at EileenTV, ranting about who knows what. I don't rant that much. See pictures of my dogs.
Just Instagram every once in a while.
Every once in a while. Right. And then I go and use it, and everybody's like, why aren't you using your Android phone? I'm like, oh, no. I do use my Android phone all the time. Whatever. I'm going to stop.
Stop.
No more.
Quit beating yourself up. All right. And I'm at Raygun01 on Twitter. You can find me there. And that's it for this week. Don't forget, you can be a part of the show by sending us an email, aaa@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can find us on Twitter at Android Show. Find our show notes, twit.tv/AAA. And finally, catch us live Mondays, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That is it. Without further ado, here's smashing a Motorola Zoom tablet.
Do it.
Bye-bye.
So did it crack?